Acts chapter 11 in your Bibles. And if you don't have one, maybe you can share it with someone. Maybe look, and that's a great way to do that. Acts chapter 11 here. We're going to continue on. We're going to look at just a couple verses. We'll continue on the book of Acts. And it's a history book of the New Testament. It really shares with us the understanding of the beginnings of the church. The Holy Spirit's here. The Lord Jesus Christ, He died. He was buried. He resurrected. And then He would ascend back to heaven. And when He would ascend to heaven, you've got the Holy Ghost that would come upon the apostles and many others now we're seeing. We're in Acts chapter 10, we saw Cornelius. Cornelius would get saved. And here in Acts chapter 11, Peter is sharing how Cornelius, a Gentile, got saved. And yet the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it just solidified and showed them that the way to heaven is only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, no matter who you are, if you want to have eternal life, it is through Jesus Christ alone. It's not you have to become a Jew first to become a Christian. You can get saved and right where you're at. And that's what the Lord wants to do. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. If you're not saved this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, don't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it next year. I just feel like I'm not old enough. Let me tell you right now. If you understand you're a sinner, and you understand there's a payment for your sin, and you understand that Jesus Christ paid that payment for you, died, buried, that resurrection, that alone is what pays for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is what washes away sin, nothing else. If you understand that, then today can be the day you get saved. You can put your faith in Christ just like you're doing right now by sitting down. You put faith in a chair to believe it holds you up. You can put that faith in Christ to believe His blood has washed away all your sins. And that the word is true, that if you call upon Him, thou shalt be saved. You will be rescued and delivered, and hell, your reservation in hell will be canceled. And heaven will be your home for all eternity. Well, let's all stand together here for a couple verses. Acts chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse number 19. Chapter 11, verse number 19. Let's begin here. Follow along with me. Verse 19, the Bible says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, let's all read verse 21 together. Ready? And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. This is God's word. Amen. I want to preach a message to you this morning, an Antioch kind of church. An Antioch kind of church. We're going to look into the scriptures. We're going to see a church in a city called Antioch. And we're going to study a little bit about that city, a little bit about that church, and we're going to apply it to even us today about this church in this city called Tucson. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. I pray, God, you help us, Lord, to be a church that's like Antioch. Lord, I look at this church and wow, a church that, Lord, if anything, what it was said about it, it's pretty powerful. A church that had the hand of the Lord with them. Lord, I don't know if the hand of the Lord is with us. I believe it is, but Lord, I certainly would love for that to be said by you about Coronado Baptist Church, that this is a church that the hand of the Lord is with. I know man can help and only can do so much, but Lord, to have your help, to have God's hand helping us to do your work here in Tucson, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to have that. And Lord, bless the special. Thank you for these young men, Lord, that have practiced and put a lot of time and effort in preparing for, Lord, this special and a great song. Pray that, you, Lord, we would be blessed by it and lift you up with it. And Lord, the message to come. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. And what we're talking about, if you're not saved, don't know the Lord, that heavy burden you might be carrying about with sin and the guilt and the shame and the past and whatever it is, go to the cross. Jesus will forgive you and leave it there and go free. Amen. I love that. Great song there. Keep your Bibles open to Acts chapter number 11, please. And we're going to be looking at a map here. In fact, I got a projector, and I'm going to have Sam help me with it. But I think I had a clicker. Where's that clicker at? Let's see. I got my phone. Sam, let's see here. Oh, nope. That's a pen. You know what? Let's see. I think there's only one picture, correct? But I had my laser. I was going to use my laser. So I had a little red laser I was going to use to kind of point out, because we just read in the scriptures about some locations, some places. And in fact, Sam, when you're done, thank you. Yep, that's good. I think that in hopefully everybody can see that. Looks a little blurry to me. I don't know. Kind of maybe tweaked. It's good. You want to see if on my desk? I might have that has a laser on there. Can you go check on that real quick for me? And all right, well, I want this a little bit of a visual for us this morning, because when you read the book of Acts, it really does help you and me to understand when we read about cities or you read about locations. There's a lot of traveling going on around here. This really is the known world at this time. Perfect. Thank you. And I love history. I got to teach world history for 5 years, and I got to teach at a high school and at our Christian school back in West Virginia. And I love studying history. I love reading books about history. Really, the Bible, a lot of it has a lot of history in it. And I actually had a map one time that had a map of like a timeline of all these different cultures and civilizations, and it showed it comparing with the Bible, when the Bible was actually happening compared to what was taking place over in China. When did the pyramids, when were those built? What was happening in the Bible when the pyramids were being built? So it was really cool to kind of see all this happening as I was getting to study and preparing for history classes and things like that. I'm currently even reading a book right now on American history, just studying about the founding of America and the different stories that you and I have heard when we went to American history class in high school. Many of those I slept through. But I'm reading through that book right now, remembering and reminding myself what happened in American history, and it's been a joy. I just finished a book about Tombstone and the OK Corral. And I read a little bit about the history of Tucson. Maybe some of you had to take a class in school on Tucson or Arizona, the history of Arizona and some of these different counties. And how did we get these different locations? And how did Tucson come about? I think it was 1775 or 1776 was kind of like the beginning of a fort, the Spanish fort that was built here and the starting of the city of Tucson. But to me, I enjoy it. But really what we have here, we have some locations. Look at me at verse number 19 again. It says, "Now when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix," and I just had that, and you know what? Did he not give it to me? Sam, you didn't take it away from me, did you? There it is. Okay, all right. My. I'm thinking, am I really getting that old? That's bad. That's real bad. Phoenix. Okay, so let me just kind of show you here. So right over here, this Syria, Phoenix would be kind of this location. It's actually modern-day Lebanon, and Tyre and Sidon were two port cities. Even Jesus talked about Sidon and Tyre. So these are Phoenix. So the persecution was in Jerusalem. The stoning of Stephen was in Jerusalem. And there's that great persecution, and the Bible says they were scattered. They began to flee Jerusalem for their lives, because if you stayed in Jerusalem, you could be stoned to death. You could be killed. So people are leaving, going this direction, and they're coming up around this area right here. Then you've got another place, location, and Cyprus. Cyprus is an island right there. There's Cyprus. So some people were getting on a boat, getting on a ship, and they're going over 100 miles or so over to the island of Cyprus, because really they're being persecuted. They're believers, they're Christians, and they're fleeing for their lives. And so they're trying to go over to Cyprus. And what they're doing over there, we're going to find out here next. But then they went to Antioch. Notice this word Antioch. This is a city called Antioch. That city right there is about approximately 300 miles or so from Jerusalem. So people were traveling from Jerusalem going over here to this around this area. People are leaving, going over here to this area. And then people are leaving, going all the way up to a place called Antioch. That'd be like persecution taking place in Tucson, and people fleeing and leaving and going all the way as far as San Diego. San Diego to be approximately over 300 miles, so maybe a little farther than this right here, but that would be the idea. Persecution taking place in Tucson, people attacking Christians, people looking for Christians, and you could be stoned to death, you could be taken to prison, and so what you're going to do is you're going to probably maybe leave with your family and your wife, your kids, and perhaps you got families traveling and leaving and going to the airports, and you can imagine packing out the car and driving on the highway trying to get out of Jerusalem to save your lives. But at the same time, it wasn't necessarily them trying to just leave and trying to save their lives. It was also because they were going to go, and where they went, they were going to be sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel to other people so that they could know the Lord. Now, Antioch, that city called Antioch up there, was known as Antioch the Golden, Queen of the East. That was the name of the nickname it was given to, that city. A beautiful port city, about 15 miles off the coast of the Mediterranean. It's the capital of Syria. When Rome conquered Syria, became the capital. It was a center of luxury and culture, attracted all kinds of people, a place where retired, wealthy Roman soldiers would spend their days at the pools or gambling at the races. It was the third greatest city of the Roman world, following only Rome. And you can see Rome over here. Where's Rome? Right, there's Rome. Rome, probably the greatest city at that time. Second would be Alexandria, down here, Alexandria. The third greatest city at this time was Antioch, right there, Antioch. They had over 500,000 citizens. That's similar to Tucson. In many ways, Antioch, population-wise, was a picture of where we're at here right now, in Tucson. 500,000 people. It's a fairly large city there called Antioch. It was dominated by Greek culture and language, had magnificent buildings that gave it the name Antioch the Golden, Queen of the East. Actually had a street 4 miles long. Now, you might think that's not a big deal because we've got cars. 4 miles, that's not long. But imagine back in that day, you walked 4 miles or you would ride a horse or however you got around. So 4 miles long. And it was paved in marble. Again, the name, the Golden, Antioch the Golden, Queen of the East. It actually was the only city that had lighted streets. You could say it was ahead of its time a little bit to have street. Now, it wasn't electricity, okay? Well, LED, they have LED. No, okay, it wasn't like that. But they had lanterns, but they had streets where even at nighttime, you could walk out there on this main street, and it could be out there during nighttime. Third, it was a third major commercial and cosmopolitan city in the world, always active with the hustle and bustle of worldwide trade and an influx of salesmen, businessmen, laborers, and visitors. It was tolerant of all religions, forbidding none. But it was home of the great temple of Daphne, that Greek mythology of a goddess, Daphne, which was the worship of an immoral god. The prophetesses of the temple were sacred prostitutes. It was a great center for sports and the pursuit of pleasure. Yes, a great city to look at the buildings and a marble, beautiful paved road, 4 miles long. And again, the name, the Golden, Antioch, the Golden, Queen of the East. And yet, a place where many went because of the wickedness, known as a city gone mad over sports and pleasure, the cesspool of pleasure. And because of this, the name Antioch became a byword around the world for sensual pleasure. It was a bustling day and night with whatever pleasure a person desired. Antioch. Again, you've seen this location, yet that is where believers and Christians would flee to, that city, when great persecution came about from the stoning of Stephen. In fact, look at me back to chapter number 8 now. Go back to chapter number 8 in the book of Acts. I just want to kind of do a little Bible study here before we get to the message, but verse 19 really takes us back to chapter 8. Look with me, verse number 1. Of course, we know the end of chapter 7 is the stoning of Stephen. Now, how many of y'all remember the stoning of Stephen? Remember the message he preached, the standing up in the face of the Sanhedrin, declaring Jesus Christ. And they got so angry and so mad, taking those stones and how they killed him. He became the first martyr of the church at that time. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." He was very pleased Stephen was dead. Why? Because he saw Jesus as an imposter. He saw Jesus as nothing but a fraud, a fool, a fake. And so Saul, at this time, before he would get saved, was on the attack mode against Jesus and against all Christians. So when Stephen died, he thought, that's a good thing. I'm glad he's gone, done with that guy. Keep reading on. It says he was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great, notice a great what, church? Say it with me. Persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now go back to chapter number 11 again. So that's what chapter 11 is referring back to. Verse 19 says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far. Here's the locations, Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch. But notice here, we got people that were traveling and fleeing, being scattered. They're preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, for some folks who have not maybe been able to hear all the messages, or maybe you're fairly new to our church, you're a returning visitor. Basically, at this time, you got three different people groups. You got Jews, you got Samaritans, you got Gentiles. Jews trace their lineage back to Abraham. Gentiles do not. They're non-Jews. Samaritans were mixed. They're mixed. They're half Jew, and then they're half Gentile. And there's a lot of barriers between these groups of people. There's a lot of racism. There's a lot of prejudice. There's a lot of walls built up over time, and people kind of avoided one another. Oh, you're a Gentile. Oh, we don't do dealings with Gentiles. Oh, you're Samaritan. We avoid. We go around. We walk around Samaria. And so you see a group of people here, when they leave, they're persecuted. Notice, they're only preaching the word to who? Talk to me now, church. They're only preaching the word of God to who? Jews. So some people are going to the synagogues. Some people are only going to the Jews to share the gospel, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to the Gentiles. They're not going to the Samaritans. They're going to the Jews only. Keep reading on. Verse number 20. Some of them were men of Cyprus. And what's that next word there? Cyrene. Where is Cyrene at? Look at the map here. Here we go again. We're good. I want you to see this, because this helps us to see the picture. Some people are in Antioch that were in persecution from Jerusalem, and they went to Antioch from Jerusalem. Some people traveled from Cyprus and came to Antioch. Some people came from Cyrene, right there. North Africa. Northern part of Africa. You've got people who are leaving this part, this city called Cyrene. Still there today. It's not called Cyrene. There are ancient ruins there. That was the ancient city of Cyrene. They left and they came over to Antioch. You got people from Cyprus. You got people from Cyrene. Keep reading on verse number 20. Which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the who? The who? Talk to me now, church. The who? The Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you have a new group of people coming to the same city. Some are preaching to the Jews. Some are coming and going after Grecians. I believe that to be Gentiles. I think that's a lot of people who are not Jewish. They're worshipers of false gods. They're believers in false deities. I think these are people that were into the sports, into the entertainment. They were into the sensual pleasure in the city. And these are people that are now being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. This is a church that had no pastor, by the way. This is a church with lay people. Folks that had trusted Christ, folks that had a testimony of God's grace and God saving them, and they came together and they're just being stirred to go share what God's done in their life, and they want to testify and pass it on and share with their neighbor, with their cousin, with an aunt, with an uncle, with a grandpa, a grandma. They're wanting others to know what Jesus has done for them. One of the largest cities in the known world at that time. In a city where many religions could be found. In a very wicked and vile city where sin abounded everywhere. In a city that seemed to have everything. That had money, but no true meaning of life. That had jobs, but no true joy. That had sports, but still searching for the truth. That had entertainment, but was still empty. In that city of Antioch, notice with me these words, verse 21. There was a church in that city that the hand of the Lord was with them. There was a church that maybe didn't have nice fancy facilities. There was a church that maybe didn't have a big budget. There was a church that didn't have maybe all the things you might think a church needs. But this church had something that I believe to be the most important part of a church, is that you've got God with you in that church. They had the hand of the Lord in that church. Something was going on in that church. Something was happening in that church. People were talking about what God was doing in that church. And may I remind us this morning, church is not a building. Church is not these walls. Church is not these arches. Church is not the ceiling. Church is not the lights. Church is not the air conditioning. Church is not a parking lot. Church is not the fence. Church is not what you can see and touch and feel. Church is what's in your hearts. It's in me. It's God in us that brings us together. It's the people of God. That's church. I had the teen boys in my office, and I loved it, guys. I absolutely loved having y'all around my desk. And man, we had a great time. And we were even talking about that, what church is. And I told those guys, I said, listen, guys, church, it ain't your church, it ain't my church. It's the church of the living God. And I said, this is his church. And we want to make much of Jesus. I said, guys, look at me, guys. Okay, stop touching. Okay, there you go. All right, keep your hands to yourself. And sometimes goofing off, all right? But I was talking to these guys. I said, look, guys, I said, look, we want to get out of the way and give all the attention to Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a distraction here. I don't think anybody here wants to be a distraction. We want to make much of Jesus at Coronado Baptist Church. I don't think this would be the ideal place to want to go start a church. Who wants to go to Antioch? Look at the wickedness. Look at the mess. You can imagine the sin. You can imagine the broken homes, the broken families. You can imagine the gambling issue. You can imagine all the issues in that church, and yet I'm not sure in that city, but yet in that city, in the midst of all of that, there was a group of people that was on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. No pastor and no other purpose but to preach Jesus and win people to him. This was the kind of church that had the hand of God, and this is the kind of church I want Coronado Baptist Church to be. Can I say tonight, this morning, my message this morning is an Antioch kind of church. I want Coronado to be an Antioch kind of church. I see what God was doing in this church, and I think, Lord, do it here. I want our church to have the hand of God with us. By the way, not against us. With us. Can I remind you this morning how big God's hand is? You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, actually in Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 12, says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I got some water right here. You think about the hollow of your hand right now. How much water can you and I hold? Can I tell you right now, that's not much. You want to drink? That's not much water, right? This water bottle ain't much water. Having a 5-gallon jug is not much water. And it might be a little heavy to carry a little bit there, but you know what, though? The Bible says God holds all the water in all the world in the palm of his hand. Can I tell you right now? That tells me one thing. That's a pretty big hand. Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean. You know, we sing the song with kids. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. They had the hand that could hold all the waters of all the world, every river, every lake, every pond, every stream, every ocean, in the hand of God. And that same hand was with them. Wow. And by the way, also Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, you read on, it says, and meted out heaven with the span. Meaning, a span in the Bible was where you measure your thumb to your pinky. That's a span. A span's a measurement. That God can measure the entire universe. Every galaxy, every planet, every star, from one end to the other end. God says, there's the measurement right there. I can span the universe from the thumb to the pinky. That's how big God's hand is. He can hold all the waters. He can measure the universe. And that same big hand from our big, great God, the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was with them at the church at Antioch. Folks, that's the hand I want with us this morning at our church. To have the hand of the Lord with us. You know what they did? They did two things. They preached Jesus and they cared about people. And they had the hand of the Lord. They preached Jesus Christ. They lifted up Christ. He said, I'll draw all men. Lift up Christ. And he promises, I'll draw all men to myself. They lifted up Christ, preaching Christ, sharing Christ, speaking of Christ, taught Christ. And all this was going on in this church. And they cared about other people that weren't just like them. They cared for people that were different. They cared for people that needed to know the Lord that they knew. But let's bring this home. We'll be done this morning. Let's talk about Tucson. Tucson's the 33rd largest city in the United States of America. In 2020, we have 545,340 people here in this city. We are the second largest city in Arizona. We're named the 20th best city in the U.S. in the 2021 America's Best Cities Annual Report. I thought that was kind of cool. We're in the top, named the 20th best city. Large retirement communities, a large university, shopping, mountains everywhere you turn, beautiful weather for the most part, and hot, and but cultural, and lots of cultures here, food's everywhere. Food trucks are everywhere. I mean, restaurants are everywhere. Amen. Tacos are everywhere. All right, now you're awake. All right, food's everywhere. Desert, the location, I mean, just opportunities, work, jobs. I mean, you have a military base, you got the airport, international airport. So much could be said about Tucson, Arizona. And yet, in our city, we also have our issues, just like Antioch had their issues. Back 2021, Tucson had experienced an increase in robberies and shootings. Record-breaking year last year in homicides. I was told just yesterday, someone was sharing with me how the police are just stressed and in need of help. Drugs, crime. Read about a high school brawl that took place where many students were involved in a fight that took place during lunch. Folks, I'm just simply saying, yes, you can maybe look at a picture of the beautiful sunset on Tucson and see the buildings and go, wow, what a beautiful city. But once you get in the city, you can see there's issues here. It's not paint just a pretty picture, although it's got a lot of good, but yet then there's the bad and the ugly. Amen? Antioch wasn't a perfect city. Neither is Tucson. Antioch had a lot of people. So does Tucson. Antioch had wickedness. So does Tucson. Antioch had a mixture of cultures. So does Tucson. Antioch had false religions. So does Tucson. Antioch needed the gospel. So does Tucson. Antioch needed a church that preached Jesus. So does Tucson. Antioch needed a church that went after the lost. So does Tucson. And in the city of Antioch, there was a church that had the hand of the Lord with them. And may it be said in our church, the hand of the Lord is with us. In 2022, we too can be an Antioch kind of church in Tucson that has the hand of the Lord with us. If we preach Christ, and if we care about those who don't know him. Can we just pause right now? That we can have God's hand with us, church. I'm talking to everybody here this morning. God's hand can be with us if we will lift up Christ every Sunday school class. Lift up Christ to every message. Lift up Christ in every conversation. Lift up Christ with our lives. And if we will care for those who don't know Jesus, those who don't know Christ. We live in a city of over 500,000 people. I wonder how many are lost that don't know Christ, don't know the truth. Let's keep the main thing at Coronado Baptist Church. Let's keep having youth explosions. Let's keep have missions trips. Mexico, who knows where the next trip may be. Maybe again to Mexico and again. Maybe other countries as well. Let's keep on having vacation Bible schools. We're bringing boys and girls and we love on them. We teach the Bible. We point them to Jesus. Let's keep going soul winning on Tuesday nights, on Saturday mornings. Let's keep knocking doors. Let's keep passing out tracts. Let's keep serving. Let's keep loving. Let's keep investing. Let's keep giving. Let's keep praying. Let's keep going. Because time is short. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to do it my flesh. I want to do it my own strength. I want God's hand with me, enabling me. That's the grace of God. In fact, Acts 11, we'll talk about this next week, but look with me. Look with me, verse number 23. Barnabas shows up in Antioch. Get this. Barnabas shows up, and look what it says in verse 23. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God. That hand of God was the working of God, the moving of God. And when Barnabas showed up, he went, there's no doubt in my mind, the grace of God is in this church. Amen. God's grace is God's goodness. It's God's supernatural push to help our church. Can I tell you right now, how is this all happening in our church right now? I had a room full of teenage boys. Can I be honest with you? You don't see that everywhere. Teen guys all together in a room. And guess what? We all pray together. And hearing these guys, different guys pray together. And they prayed for one another. They're praying for different guys and different other. You guys were praying for Mrs. Cruz and Brother Bob and others as well. It's special. Folks, you are here this morning. It's no mistake that you're here today because the Lord brought you here. That's the grace of God. It's the hand of the Lord. And I want it with us. It's my heart's desire that we would be an Antioch kind of church. Father, we love you, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, even now as we wrap this up and have an invitation now. And Lord, our church, may it be our heart's desire.